Today we are doing Simen Tov Resh Ches, which is Seder Suda HaMafsekes. It includes the halachas of the Suda HaMafsekes, the halachas of eating on Erev Yom Kippur altogether, as well as the halachas of Tochacha. So let us begin. Sif Aleph, the halacha is that a person is to eat not down to the last minute, not all the way up to Shkia, but what a person has to do is stop before because of Tosfos Yom Kippur. How long is Tosfos Yom Kippur? So the Mechaber says, when is it that you have to stop eating? You have to stop eating a while before Bein HaShemashes. What is Bein HaShemashes? Bein HaShemashes is the amount of time that it takes a person to walk 1,500 Amma. Elef Tov Kuf Amma, before Tzeisek HaKavim, before night. Now what is this? This is the shear of 3/4 of a mil. A mil in Chazal is 2,000 Amma. Gimel Revoy Mil is 1,500 Amma, the amount of time that it takes a person to walk 1,500 Amma. Now, a mil, it's understood, according to most poskim, a mil is something a person walks in 18 minutes. Therefore, 3/4 of a mil would be 13 and a half minutes. So 13 and a half minutes before Tzeisek HaKavim, that is the beginning of Bein HaShemashos, and you have to stop eating before that. So the Mishnah Berurah immediately tells us, this is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds that when the sun sets, that is not yet called Shkia and Halacha, and twilight has not yet begun. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it is only when you get to 58 and a half minutes after sunset that the day has ended and you are entering twilight for 13 and a half minutes. And then 13 and a half minutes after that, which is a total of 72 minutes from our sunset, at that point you've reached Tzeisek HaKavim. According to him, from sunset until 58 and a half minutes later, you are allowed to continue eating. You should stop a little bit before that. Right? Because it's still day, but stop a little before that to be Mekayim your mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah says the 13 and a half minutes together with your Tosfos Yom Kippur should total a half hour. So a half hour before Tzeisek HaKavim, that's when a person would have to stop. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Many Rishonim, and then the Gra, hold not like Rabbeinu Tam. They are of the opinion that the day ends with sunset, and then we begin twilight. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says that one should see to it that he does not rely on Rabbeinu Tam, that he refrains from eating already sometime before Shkia Sachama, meaning before the sunset on the calendar. And he sends you to the halachas of Erev Shabbos, where he tells us that for like 20 minutes or so before sunset, one has to make sure to stop doing malacha. So the same thing here. The halacha would be for about 20 minutes before sunset, a person should already stop doing what he's doing. Don't eat. Keep all the halachas of Yom Kippur. Don't do malacha. Now, what is this mitzvah? This is the mitzvah of Tosfos Yom Kippur. The mitzvah of Tosfos Yom Kippur is derived from the pasuk of Basisha B'chodesh Me'erev, Me'erev Ederev, that we have to start early. And from there we learn out that any time there is Kedusha, whether it's Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, there is a mitzvah to bring it in early. With regard to Yom Kippur, the Mishnah Berurah says that we consider this a da'oraisa. There's a mitzvah da'oraisa to bring Yom Kippur in early. So that, halacha l'maisa, for 20 minutes before sunset already, a person should refrain from eating, refrain from doing malacha on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, Sif Beis is the halacha of Noshim She'ochlos V'shosos Ad Shech HaShecha. Apparently it was common that women would eat and drink down to the last minute. And they ate and drank until the beginning of twilight. And they were not Makai in the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom Kippur. And they don't know. So the Gemara says, you're not supposed to tell them. Why is that? We shouldn't do it on purpose. This is the Gemara of Mutaf Shihu Shogigin Val Yehu Mazidin. When people are doing things out of ignorance, and by my giving them tochacha, they will no longer be ignorant, but I know they're not going to listen. They're going to continue doing what's wrong. So what am I doing by giving tochacha? I am taking someone who is ignorant, a shogeg, and turning him into a mazid. That you're not supposed to do. So, the halacha is that you're not supposed to tell them. Now, this really takes us into the halacha of tochacha altogether. The Bir Halacha already brings up the point There is a machlokes rishonim, if there is a mitzvah of tochacha when a person is not going to listen to you. What is the tachlis of tochacha anyway? If I know that the person is not going to listen to me, why should I have to give tochacha? On the other hand, if the only purpose of the mitzvah is in order that the person stops what he's doing, then that's a valid claim. The mitzvah of tochacha may very well be the fact that when I see an avera, I've got to protest. I cannot just sit by and allow a Jew to do avera without saying something. Now, if that's the case, then even if he won't listen to me, I've got to protest. The question is, how do we paskin? The pashit pshat in the Gemara, and certainly the way the Shulchan Aruch is bringing it, in Mutav Sheyehu Shogin Val Yehu Mezidin, would suggest that we are dealing with a case where the women will definitely not listen to you, or else we wouldn't say Val Yehu Mezidin. So why do we need the explanation of Mutav Sheyehu Shogin? The reason I don't give them tochacha is because I will turn them into mezid. I shouldn't have to bother giving them tochacha because they're not going to listen to me anyway. If I'm being ineffective, why bother? So we see from here that were it not for Mutav Sheyehu Shogin Val Yehu Mezidin, we would be required to give them tochacha. And the Rama actually says, V'u'adin b'chol dvar isra mina Mutav Sheyehu Shogin Val Yehu Mezidin, and the same halacha is for all other things. We say Mutav Sheyehu Shogin Val Yehu Mezidin, and that is that we're supposed to give tochacha unless we know that they're not going, unless we know that they're going to become mezidin. Then he says, "V'dafka she'eno mafurish b'Torah." Another condition is that you're dealing with something that is not explicit in the Torah, and we're going to get right back to that. Aval mafurish b'Torah, you give tochacha. And then he says, "V'im yodeya she'ein dvorav nishmayin." If you know they're not going to listen to you, lo yomer barabim lo hochicha, elo rak pamachas. There, you should not do it publicly more than once. Which means the Rama understands, both from the Mechaber and Paskins this way himself, that with the general question of do you give tochacha when you know that people aren't going to listen to you, the answer is yes. The mitzvah of tochacha is, someone is doing an avera, you must speak up. Except where your tochacha is going to make it worse. In other words, why are you protesting? You're standing up for Kvod Shamayim. If you're so interested in Kvod Shamayim, why turn someone into a mezid? What you're doing is interfering with Kvod Shamayim. You're taking a person that is ignorant and turning him into a malicious offender. Don't do that. The Mishnah Berurah points out that the only time we say Mutav Sheyehu Shogeg Val Yehu Mezidin is, number one, that the person is definitely a shogeg. Number two, that if you tell him, he will clearly not listen to you and will remain a mezid. With this, the Mishnah Berurah explains that condition in the Ramah, that if it's an explicit pasik, we do not say Mutav Sheyehu Shogeg Val Yehu Mezidin. Why not? Because what Jew doesn't know a beferish pasik? You're going to assume that the person's a shogeg? He must be amazed already. If he's amazed already, give him tochach even if he won't listen to you. You're not doing any damage. He quotes the Rajba as a source to that. Meaning, it is not that the fact that it's a doraisa mafurish that makes it more severe and therefore you have to give him tochacha. It's just that in a case of a doraisa mafurish, how can you possibly think that the person doesn't know it? Of course he's amazed and not a shogeg. Which obviously means that if you're dealing with people that you know don't even know a pasuk chumash, or they don't have right pshat in the chumash, that we would still say mutav sheyehu shogeg val yehu mezidin, even though we're dealing with a doraisa mafurish. This would be the Mishnah Berurah Shita. All right, so if a person is going to continue doing it anyway, you give him tochacha unless you're making it worse, unless you're going to be turning him into a mezid. In the Bir Halacha, he brings up the issue of a mumar, where the person that's doing it is a mumar lahachis. He knows and is doing it as an act of rebellion. He says, there's no mitzvah of tochacha. It says, ocheach tochiach es amisecha, and he is not an amisecha. On the other hand, what if he's only a mumar l'teyavon? The Mishnah Berurah is mistopic. The Mishnah Berurah is unsure. So, although I generally avoid adding things to the Mishnah Berurah, I would just like to point something out, which is, if we're saying that there's a mitzvah of giving tochacha, even if the person won't listen to you, then it's kind of hard to define this as a mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveiro. You're doing it, if the person will listen to you, obviously you're trying to help him. But if the person is not going to listen to you, you're doing this as your protest you're doing it as an expression of your disapproval of what the man is doing, then what's the difference if he is Amisecha or he's not Amisecha? You know, when I'm doing someone a favor, you could tell me that the Torah limits the people that we've got to do favors to. There are certain favors that are limited to the family. If he's Amisecha, if he's part of the nation, he's behaving like a Jew. But once we've defined the mitzvah of Tochacha as even of the person who won't listen to you, then why should there make a difference if the man's a mummer or not? The sources that the Bir Halacha quotes, he quotes an Aderes Eliyahu, a Tanadevei Eliyahu. If you look it up there, what it says is this is based on the pasuk of Al Tochach Leitz Pen Yisnoeka. In other words, the reason you don't give him Tochacha, the pasuk is not telling us that it's because I don't have to give Tochacha to him because he's not a member of the nation, he's opted out. Pshat is, it's not good to give Tochacha to a Leitz, because what you're going to do is cause Sinas Yisrael. All he's going to do is hate you. In fact, there's a Bir Halacha a little bit later here, where the Bir Halacha brings from the Sefer Chassidim. If there's a person that you don't really know him, it's not Libo Gaspo, and you figure that if you give him Tochacha, the odds are that not only is he not going to listen to you, but he'll get angry with you. He's probably going to end up taking Nakama. He's going to try to get back at you. How do you dare give Tochacha? For such a person, you shouldn't give Tochacha. Right? So that we see that even though the halacha is you give Tochacha, even if you think you're being ineffective, that's only if you're not going to cause something really negative like Sinas Yisrael. So Al Tochach Leitz Pen Yisnoeka. If there is somebody who is a Mumra Lahachis, where it is obvious that by giving him Tochacha, all you're going to do is cause hatred, then don't do it. That is why a Mumra Lahachis is not in the klal. You don't have to give Tochacha to him, and you shouldn't. With regard to a Mumra L'Teyavin, the Bir Halacha is not sure. It would sound as if one really would have to size the man up. Is he a Ben Yisnoeka? Will he appreciate it? Or is he just going to get angry and take Nakama? Are you bringing about Sinas Yisrael, or are you not? So it may very well depend on who he is. It may also depend on whom you are, in the way you give Tochacha. All right, then we go further. The Ramah says, and what happens if we're dealing with a Rabin? There, if you know they're not going to listen to you, only speak up once. Kishem Shemitzvah, the Gemara says, Kishem Shemitzvah lomar damra nishma, kach mitzvah shalom lomar davar shalom nishma. In public, it is a bad habit to go speaking out in public constantly when people are ignoring you. You're sort of educating them not to take the mochichim seriously. You're getting them used to the idea of not following Tochacha. It is a mitzvah not to say a davar shalom nishma. Why do you have to tell them once? You do have to tell them once, either because they may listen to you, you never know, and also that there should be no claim against you. Why didn't you at least try? At least this way you know you tried. Avol b'yochid chayev lohochicho, when you're dealing with an individual, you have to give Tochacha, even though you know he's not going to listen to you, and you just keep giving Tochacha. Ad sheyakenu, O yekal olenu, until he hits you or he curses you. Mishnah Berurah brings down that there's another opinion, it's kedei nezifa, which is when he tells you off. But you don't have to wait to for an actual klal or an actual hakah. And Bir Halacha also brings from the chinuch that it's not that he should actually hit you or give you a klal, but up to the point where he's about to hit you or give a klal. So these were the halachas of Tochacha. The Mishnah Berurah adds that if the Avera that was done by Seser, if the Avera was not done in public, then you should not give him Tochacha in public. If an Avera is done in public and you've got to stop the Avera, then go to end the Chilul Hashem, give him Tochacha there. But if an Avera is done privately, then you should not go and give a person Tochacha in public. That's an awful thing to do. Now we go further. Siv Gimel. Im hifsik me'achilosu mebod hayom godol yochal lachser v'lechol, kol zman shelo kibol avatayinus. The halacha is that if a person finished the Suda Mafsekes early, he's got a long time to go before twilight. The halacha is he's allowed to eat as long as he didn't accept upon himself Yom Kippur. Mishnah Berurah says that our minhag is that you should explicitly say when you end your Suda Mafsekes, if you want to carry on eating, that I intend on carrying on eating. Otherwise, we're choshish that by ending your Suda Mafsekes, it's as if you were makabalat on yourself. Even though Kabbalah Belev doesn't work. Even though Kabbalah Belev, the Ramah says right here, that's not enough. It's got to be a Kabbalah Bepeh. You've got to say it. You've got to verbalize it. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that our minhag is that you would actually have to stipulate beforehand that I do plan on eating, if you do want to eat further. Now, when is this? This would only be from Plaga Mincha. But if before Plaga Mincha you finished your Suda HaMafsekes, then it couldn't be that you accepted this upon yourself, because you cannot accept Yontif in before Plaga Mincha. This goes for every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. An hour and a quarter before Shki is the earliest, this is Manios, is the earliest that you can accept the Yontif upon yourself. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if we're talking about a Kabbalah after Plaga Mincha, that means you've accepted Yom Kippur upon yourself, and you couldn't eat, you could also not do Malacha. Whereas, what if it was before Plaga Mincha, and you explicitly said, I will eat no more? So there, it could be that what you've done is accepted a private fast, a tightness upon yourself. It's not Yom Kippur, but you accepted upon yourself not to eat, so that becomes a fast. That's even before Plaga Mincha, but it would not include the Isser Malacha. So in either case, certainly don't say that you're going to fast, and even after Plaga Mincha, what you should do is you should explicitly say, I do still reserve the right to eat more before Shkia comes in, before Yom Kippur. Then we go further. Siv Dalet. Be'er Yom Kippur ein lo lecho ela macholim kalim lihis akel kadesh lo yesaveo mizgalka sheyispal. Only eat light foods in Erev Yom Kippur in order that you not feel like a balgaiva, oh, I'm full, and you don't really daven with the proper hachna'ah. So the Mechaber's fear is that if you eat heavy foods, you feel too full. The Ramah says that you should also not eat the things that warm up the body and can bring one lidei tuma, and also things that are not mar bezera. You should not eat things that are mar bezera. Then he says that includes macholei cholov, that includes dairy stuff, but he says, in Suda Shachris, the minig is to eat it. So the Mishnah Berurah explains like this. There are several things going on. The Mechaber says that you should not fill yourself to the point where you feel like a bal gaiva. The Ramah is afraid of Tumah. Now, if he's afraid of Tumah, that's only in the Suda Mafsekes. But he also says not to eat the things that are mar bezera, in which case you shouldn't even do that for Shachris. But for some reason, the minig is not to be zor in Shachris. So the Mishnah Berurah comes out as follows. That first of all, with regard to the mitzvah is to eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur. The minhag is not to eat beef. The minhag is to only eat fowl. We'll have chicken on Erev Yom Kippur, and this goes for two sudas on Erev Yom Kippur, where the minhag is to have chicken. Second of all, he says that with regard to milk that was brought up in the Ramah, it was only hot milk that he was talking about. It's only if the milk is actually hot. And he also says that the same thing goes for eggs. One should not have eggs, and one should also not have garlic. These are all things that are marbe zera. The Mishnah Berurah also brings down from the Prima Gadim that if you have these ingredients mixed with other stuff, they're batel barov. So, for example, coffee with milk would be permissible as long as the rov is coffee and not milk. So this ends the halachas of the Suda HaMafsekes.